Brother Carey to read that for us this morning, and then before we begin.
Okay, good morning, church. Let's focus on the Word of God. Romans chapter 6, verses 15 to 23. This is what it says. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed, and having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness, resulting in sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been free from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit, resulting in sanctification, and the outcome, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to see you here today. We'll start with a quote from J.C. Ryle from his book Holiness, which is, by the way, an excellent book to read on what it means to be a Christian and how we can live the Christian life. The quote is, "The worst chains are those which are neither felt nor seen by the prisoner." And here, J.C. Ryle is referring to spiritual chains, because before we become Christians, we are slaves to sin. And then, when we do become Christians, we're still slaves, but we're slaves of righteousness. We're slaves of Jesus Christ. And you'll notice that the first sermon we had in Romans back on July 4th, the title was Paul, a Slave of Christ Jesus. Because that was how he identified himself at the beginning of the book in chapter 1. But now we're here in chapter 6, and Paul is defining what it means to be a Christian, and he's telling us that the true Christian is a slave of Christ Jesus. So the parallel is there. He introduces the idea in chapter 1, and he fleshes it out here in chapter 6. But let us pray. Dear Lord, Father, slaves we are, Father, slaves to the one we obey, whether it be slavery to sin or whether it be slavery to Jesus Christ, Father. And true freedom is only found in slavery to Jesus Christ, Father, because he frees us to obey righteousness, to love him and cherish him and follow him. And that is the only true freedom that we will ever have, Father. I pray if there's anyone here today who's still a slave to sin, or if there's anyone listening on the recording who is still in slavery to sin, Father, that you might set them free through your gospel, Father, the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 6, verse 15. Paul writes, "What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. So Christians are not under the law. What does that mean? It means that if we are trusting in Christ as our Lord and Savior, and thus are Christians, we are not ultimately judged by whether we perfectly obey the written law of God. That means that even though we break God's law, we have broken God's law, and we continue to break God's law throughout our life, we can still be saved. We can be judged by grace. Christians are under grace. We are judged by God through the grace that is in Jesus Christ. We are counted righteous or justified through faith in his perfect obedience to the law and not our own. This is really good news because we can't obey the law perfectly. We have a sinful nature, and our tendency is always to fall into sin. So not being under the law, meaning not being judged by whether we keep it perfectly, is wonderful because we're under grace, and Christ's perfect record becomes our own when we trust in him for it, and thus we can be saved. We can live in heaven forever and ever instead of receiving the punishment for our sin, the just punishment, which is hell. Paul asks the question in this verse, if we are not judged by whether or not we obey the law perfectly, which we cannot do, we cannot obey the law perfectly, then are we not free to sin as much as we want to? Because we're not being judged by whether we obey the law, so why not just do whatever we want? Give in to our sin nature. And he says, and this is back to those words that we're learning, me geneta in the Greek, which means by no means. This is impossible. No way. May it never be. This can't happen. We're not to continue in sin because we're being judged by Christ's record. In fact, we love the law of God as Christians. If the Holy Spirit is in our heart, then we cherish God's law and we want to obey it. And through the work of the Spirit, we can obey it, not perfectly, but we can obey God's law. And just to give a few examples of some verses in the Bible that teach us that we are to love God's law, I'm going to go through a few right here in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Psalm 119:11 says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Verse 18 of Psalm 119 says, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. Psalm 119:29 says, put false ways far from me and graciously teach me your law. Psalm 119:34 says, give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. 1 John in the New Testament, chapter 5, verses 2 and 3 says, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Psalm 19:7-11 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. And finally, Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So even though we are not under the law, we cherish God's law because it is an expression of who he is. Number one, it is unthinkable to a true Christian that they would live in disobedience to God's law. They love his law because it is an expression of who he is. Number one, it is unthinkable to a true Christian that they would live in disobedience to God's law. They love his law because it is an expression of who he is. We love his law because it demonstrates God's righteousness. And even though we're not judged by keeping it perfectly, as Christians, through the work of the Holy Spirit, we desire to keep it perfectly, and we strive to keep it perfectly, even though we fail in this life. Romans 6, verse 16 says, "Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness?" There are only two groups of people in the world: those who present themselves as slaves of sin, and those who present themselves as slaves of obedience to God. Those who are living as slaves of sin obey sin as their master, which leads to eternal death, eternal punishment in hell. We don't want that. We don't want that for ourselves. We don't want that for the people we know at church. We don't want that for the people we interact with day by day. We don't want it for our family members. Being a slave of sin and ultimately facing hell because of it is the worst fate that anyone could ever suffer. However, those who live as slaves to obedience to God receive the fruit of righteousness, which is eternal life. Number two, true Christians are those who are slaves of righteousness. They have repented of their slavery to sin and put their trust in their new master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, true Christians are those who are slaves of righteousness. They have repented of their slavery to sin and put their trust in their new master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is a merciful master. He gives us freedom in him, freedom from sin, freedom from slavery to sin. How wonderful it is that he does this for those who trust in him. Romans 6, verses 17 and 18. "But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness." Verse 17 starts with "thanks be to God," because it is God's doing that we are now free from our slavery to sin. It says in John 8, 31 to 36, "So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.' They answered him," this is the Jews, "'We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone,'" which, by the way, is ironic because they had been enslaved many times. "'How is it that you say you will become free?' Jesus answered them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed.'" Everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. However, if Jesus sets us free, we will be free indeed. Number three, true Christians were once slaves of sin, but have become obedient from the heart to Christ because the Spirit lives in their heart. They know what it means to obey since they are committed to the teaching of the Word of God. They are now slaves to righteousness rather than sin. Number three, true Christians were once slaves of sin, but have become obedient from the heart to Christ. They know what it means to obey since they are committed to the teaching of the Word of God. They are now slaves to righteousness rather than sin. We become obedient from the heart because the Holy Spirit lives in our heart. And we want to obey God. We desire to obey God. We're passionate about trying to obey God in all that we do. And it says we're obedient from a heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. This is the Word of God. The teaching which we're committed to is in this, in Romans, the teaching of Paul, and ultimately the teaching of the Holy Spirit, the standard of teaching. And that's how we know how to obey God, how we know what He wants from us. And we get this by cherishing and reading and studying and talking about the Word of God. Romans 6, verse 19. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. Paul briefly mentions that he's speaking in human terms because of the nature of spiritual things are often beyond our ability to put into our limited vocabulary. So even though he uses the term slave and slave to righteousness, he's hitting at something which is a higher reality that we don't quite have the words for. But it does mean when he says slave that we're obedient and we have to obey our master, either sin or Jesus. Paul repeats himself again in a different way in these verses. He's still talking about slavery to sin, slavery to righteousness. Number four, before we became Christians, we presented our bodies as slaves to impurity and to more and more lawlessness. But now that we have freedom from sin, we now have the power through the Holy Spirit to present our bodies as slaves to righteousness. This leads to sanctification or growing over time to be more and more like Christ. Number four, before we became Christians, we presented our bodies as slaves to impurity and more lawlessness. But now that we have freedom from sin, we now have the power through the Holy Spirit to present our bodies as slaves to righteousness. This leads to sanctification or growing over time to be more and more like Christ. Just as we said last week, justification, being made righteous in the eyes of God, and sanctification are intertwined together and they cannot be separated. Even though they're two separate processes, one we're just made righteous and the other we're actually becoming actually righteous in justification and sanctification. Sanctification happens as we become slaves of righteousness and we present our members as slaves to righteousness, which leads to this sanctification. So you actually have the power through the Holy Spirit as a Christian to present our body, your body, as a slave to righteousness, which leads to you becoming more and more like Jesus. Part of that is practicing the spiritual disciplines as we're going to be hearing from Dr. Whitney today. But part of that also is just in your heart committing yourself to that standard of teaching, to what the Bible teaches, and presenting your body for obedience to righteousness, to Jesus, literally obeying him from the heart because we have that power in the Holy Spirit. Romans 6:20-21. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. So when we were slaves of sin, we were free in regard to righteousness. But that's not a good thing. We don't want to be free from righteousness. We were allowed, when we were slaves of sin, we sinned day in, day out, moment to moment, month to month, year to year. We sinned as much as we wanted to. And we wanted to because we were slaves to our sin. But what was the fruit of that? Paul is saying, we're now ashamed of what happened then. For the end of those things, the slavery to sin, is death. Spiritual death, physical death, all kinds of death come when we're slaves to sin. Number 5. Before we were Christians, we were slaves of sin and we were free from slavery to righteousness. We lived in the way our wicked hearts wanted to. We were not ashamed of our actions then, but we are now. And the final fruit of that slavery to sin was spiritual death. All those who remain in their slavery to sin will face the eternal death of punishment in hell. Number 5. Before we were Christians, we were slaves of sin, and we were free from slavery to righteousness. We lived in the way our wicked hearts wanted to. We were not ashamed of our actions then, but we are now. And the final fruit of that slavery to sin was spiritual death. All those who remain in their slavery to sin will face the eternal death of punishment in hell. We lived in the way our wicked hearts wanted to. To some people, that sounds like freedom. I can do whatever I want, people will say. I can drink. I can get drunk. I can have sexual immorality in my life. I can do all these things. Freedom is just sin as much as you want to. But the end of that is death. And that death will last forever in hell. And we were created to love God and his law and to obey him. That was the purpose for which he created us. How could we just sin wantonly again and again when we're created for a higher purpose? And in Christ, if we're trusting in Christ, we can be free from slavery to sin and become slaves of Christ's righteousness. See, Christ lived a perfect life. He became a man. He never once sinned. He lived a perfect, righteous life. And through trusting in him, we can receive his righteousness as our own. Then he went to the cross, and he took the punishment that we deserve, that eternal hell, he took it on himself, so that if we trust in him, he might take the punishment for us, and we would not have to receive that punishment ourselves. And then he rose from the dead so that we might have new spiritual life in Jesus, so that we might be slaves to righteousness, meaning we obey him from the heart. And we receive new spiritual life now and new physical life in the world to come. Romans 6, verse 22. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. We've been set free from sin and become slaves of God. You see, there's only those two types of slavery. There's only those two ways of living, either to be a slave to sin or a slave of God, a slave of Jesus Christ. And just as we talked about back in chapter 1, this slavery is either a terrible, terrible thing when we're slaves to sin, or slavery to God, slavery to Christ, is a wonderful thing. Because in slavery to Christ is true freedom. Number 6. Yet those who are trusting in Christ for freedom have been set free from slavery to sin and have now become his slaves. This leads to the fruit of sanctification and the final result of eternal life. Those who are slaves of Christ will passionately seek to obey him and his word. Number 6. Yet those who are trusting in Christ for freedom have been set free from slavery to sin and have now become his slaves. This leads to the fruit of sanctification and the final result of eternal life. Those who are slaves of Christ will passionately seek to obey him and his word. Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wages, which we earn, when you have a wage, it's something you earn. And through sin, we earn death, eternal death. But the free gift, on the other hand, we don't do anything to earn eternal life, but God offers it as a free gift in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Number 7. The contrast here is between a wage that we earn because of our sin, which is death and punishment from God, and a free gift we cannot earn of eternal life offered to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. Number 7. The contrast here is between a wage that we earn because of our sin, which is death and punishment from God, and a free gift we cannot earn of eternal life offered to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. And they're in contrast. The free gift cancels out the wage of death. The wages of sin, if we're living as slaves to sin, that cancels out any free gift we might receive from God. So we must be slaves of Jesus Christ and his righteousness, or we're not truly Christians. If we're still earning those wages of sin and we're living in slavery to sin, then we are not a Christian. If the practical life, day-to-day life that we live on this earth is an obedience to sin, then we cannot be Christians and we cannot receive the free gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. But that free gift is offered freely if we will repent of our sin and turn away from it and follow Jesus, which he gives us the power to do that through his Spirit if we will just seek him for it and pray to him and ask him, ask Jesus to be our freedom. Application number 1. If you do not yet know Jesus, God offers you a choice. Remain as a slave to sin and receive the eternal death of slavery in hell, or repent of your sins and turn to Jesus, who has accomplished the salvation of all who trust in him. Number 1. If you do not yet know Jesus, God offers you a choice. Remain as a slave to sin and receive the eternal death of slavery in hell, or repent of your sins and turn to Jesus, who has accomplished the salvation of all who trust in him. Come to Jesus, God says. That's what he's telling us every week, week in, week out. Jesus will give you freedom. That's what these verses are about. If you want true freedom from your sin, you're buried under it. You can't set yourself free from it. You want to live for, you want to be free from your slavery to sin. You can have that. In Jesus Christ, he offers it to you. Just repent and trust in him and what he has done. But most of you here today do know Jesus, or at least you profess to know Jesus. So let's look at number two. Application number two. If you profess to know Jesus and yet do not see the evidence of the work of the Holy Spirit freeing you from slavery to sin, plead in prayer with God for mercy so that you might present yourself to Jesus as his slave, a slave of righteousness. Application number two. If you profess to know Jesus and yet do not see the evidence, the work of the Holy Spirit freeing you from slavery to sin, plead in prayer with God for mercy so that you might present yourself to Jesus as his slave, a slave of righteousness. As the song we sang today, have mercy on me, O Lord, O God. A broken and a contrite heart he will not despise. That is the teaching of Scripture. Yeah, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We must be broken by our sin, contrite, begging God to have mercy on us if we are to receive the Spirit and to live as slaves of righteousness. God wants us to plead with him. If we see sin dominating in our life, we want to say, God, help me. Help me, God. I don't want the fruit of death. I don't want to be separated from you, Father. Please help me, God, to trust in Jesus. And this can be done even if we're professing to be a Christian. We can still beg God, saying, I see this slavery to sin coming into my life again, creeping up and causing me to obey its passions. God, please help me to obey you. Help me to love Jesus. Application number three. If you have been set free from sin and you possess assurance that your freedom is real, look around at you at the world full of slaves to sin. Warn them that the wages of sin is death, and tell them of the hope of freedom in Jesus Christ our Lord. Application number three. If you have been set free from sin and possess assurance that your freedom is real, look around at you at the world full of slaves of sin. Warn them that the wages of sin is death, and tell them of the hope of freedom in Jesus Christ, our Lord. If you have the assurance that you are set free from sin, that Jesus is your master, Jesus is your Lord, and you obey him day in and day out, not perfectly, but passionately, then look around at the rest of the people in your life, in your family, at work, wherever you go. When you go to a restaurant, or you go to your accountant to get your taxes done. Wherever you go, look around and see that there are slaves. There are slaves, and the end of that slavery is death. They need to hear about Jesus so that they can plead with Jesus, repent of their sin, and put their trust in him. Let us pray. Dear Lord, Father, this slavery that we had in our life before we were Christians is it leads to death, Father, this slavery to sin. I pray that we would all be living lives of freedom in Jesus Christ, Father, that if there's someone who hears this that doesn't know you, Father, that they might repent of their sin and put their trust in what Christ has done. And if there's someone who has put their profession in Jesus, but they're not living a life of righteousness, Father, they're living still as a slave to their sin, Father, I pray that they would plead with you and receive freedom in Jesus Christ. And if there's people in our life who don't know Jesus, who are slaves to their sin, our only hope of being set free is in Jesus Christ and what he has done. Father, I pray that we would reach out to them and tell them about the mercy that is in Jesus Christ. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.